views on it. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. And at some point soon, I'm suspecting that one Mr. Mark Levine will be ambling into the studio, and he's going to have plenty to say on today's show also. But believe it or not, at one point in the state of Maryland, I did some work for the Attorney General's office where I did investigations of hazardous material spills. And the term that the generic term we used to use when referring to various chemicals was methyl ethyl horrible. Speaking of horrible, one Mr. Mark Levine has graced us with his grand presence. Let the pigeons loose. We don't have any doves, Mark. So
they all died in West Virginia. I'm sorry.
They died in the West Virginia chemical spill from 4-methylcyclohexane methanol.
Don't say that six times.
Yeah, I couldn't do real well with it the first time. But no, I will get it right, Mark. It is 4-methylcyclohexane methanol. What do you know?
You know, it sounds really tasty, but here it smells a little bit like licorice.
Yeah, it does. But
and it also causes vomiting.
But you don't smell anything for long, because by the time you realize what it smells like, you're dead.
Or in severe trouble.
Yeah,
Now they say that apparently pregnant women still can't drink the water, but everyone else can, which makes me a little suspicious.
Yeah, that is weird. But anytime they say anybody can't drink the water for any reason, you know, if they say, well, dogs shouldn't drink the water, but people can, I don't care. If they say don't put it on your plants, but you can. No, if there are restrictions on the water, then you probably don't want to do anything with it. Least of all, drink it. You know what, Mark? I have one of those filters on my tap at home because I don't know what could be in.
Does it keep out 4-methyl blah 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 clink but bling bling bling?
No, I would suspect that if you had one of those in West Virginia,
I think that's the technical name.
That smoke would be coming out of the tap as it burned all of the filters, and you know the charcoal would catch on fire, and you could like grill burgers on it.
Probably. You know, here's the dirty little secret about West Virginia is that the Elk River, which is the river that
there are a lot of dirty little secrets about West Virginia, but this is one of them.
Well, that's my point, is that the Elk River, which serves Charleston, West Virginia, the capital, the largest city, 300,000 people, was the only clean river left in West Virginia because the coal companies had basically destroyed all the other rivers.
Destroyed is a relative term, Mark.
Not really.
They had altered. Let's just say they would, if you ask them, they would say, we slightly altered the rivers.
Yeah, so what they do.
So that there's no life in them anymore.
Well, what they do is they blow up mountaintops. They call it mountaintop removal. A better word for it would be mountain bombing.
Yeah, right.
Because they actually put more TNT, more destructive power on the Appalachian Mountains than we used in Hiroshima.
Right.
It's that violent. And they take the oldest mountains on the planet. The Appalachian Mountains have existed really since Earth began, 4 billion years old. The Rockies are brand new compared to the Appalachian Mountains.
Something tells me they ain't going to be around much longer.
Well, they're not, because what they're doing is they're taking these mountains as old as, not human history, but Earth history, and they're making them into a moonscape, because I guess they think that, the rocky, lifeless moon is more beautiful, perhaps, than the rolling hills and flora and fauna of West Virginia, which actually is a beautiful country.
West Virginia will
what's left of it, if you've ever been there.
It'll be kind of like an inland coastal plain.
It'll be an inland coastal moonscape.
Right.
So what they do is, because apparently you have to pay workers something in order to go deep down in dark mines and risk their lives in a very dirty, dangerous work.
Yeah,
there's a lot of D's there.
Abraham
deep, dank, dirty, dangerous.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln screwed that whole thing up somewhere in the mid-1860s. So now you got to pay workers in the South.
Yeah, it's a problem, particularly in Virginia, actually.
Yeah. Right,
where you didn't used to have to do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you had to pay workers in this very dangerous job, and every now and then you'd kill a few of them, and then they would seek survivor benefits and things like that.
That's kind of inconvenient.
So what they found is if you just nuke the mountain, if you just blow the mountain to smithereens, you can actually get at the coal, and you really don't need that many workers. Now, there are some side effects. Some of the side effects are when you blow the mountain to smithereens, inside the rocks are some very natural poisonous chemicals.
Yeah.
Arsenic is probably the most famous. Pretty much everyone's heard of arsenic. It's not good for you to drink arsenic.
And they usually stay inside of the rocks.
Well, they do. And they don't harm anybody. They're in small quantities. There's also cadmium, selenium, these heavy metals that in small doses are fine. But when you blow up a mountain and the massive boulders turn into pebbles and then it all goes in West Virginia rivers, guess what leaches out of the rocks?
You're not going to
poison. Arsenic, cadmium, selenium.
Mark, don't tell me it's arsenic.
Well, it actually is arsenic.
I ask you not to tell me that.
Okay, I won't tell you that it's poison.
Okay.
But just so, and then as somebody who lives on the banks of Potomac, I got to tell you, that river eventually reaches me because the Potomac begins in West Virginia. And in fact, just about a lot of the nation's rivers, when you think about it. I mean, West Virginia either flows east
right.
through Virginia and Maryland, Washington, right. D.C., or it flows west into the Mississippi River. Either way, that's what...
Neither one of them is good.
That's like two-thirds of the nation right there. So the Elk River, this was the only river in West Virginia they had not yet polluted. And then Freedom Industries...
I was about to say.
decided they had the freedom to poison, well, the few living people in West Virginia who had not yet been poisoned.
Yeah, there was, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know, do you remember seeing, what way back when, I think there was a famous movie called The Warriors, and there was the subway cars that they spray paint all over, and there was a new white one that no one had sprayed yet, and that was like, you
right.
know, like
that was
skies,
the Elk River.
Yeah,
right
the
there.
Skies were opening up above, and
right.
you know, there's everybody wants to go spray. That was the Elk River. It's like,
right.
man, and nobody's polluted that river
and
yet.
For some reason, the coal plant felt that they needed to have this massive chemical storage tank just upstream from the capital and largest city in West Virginia, rather than, say, just downstream
yeah.
from the capital and largest city in West Virginia.
Land is cheaper upstream,
I guess,
for a major corporation. So why would you actually do something that would, you know, maybe lessen the danger to $300,000 or $400,000 people, you know, when you got to spend more
and
money to do it?
To be fair to Freedom Industries, regulations did require that particular massive chemical storage tank be examined, and it was examined as recently as 1991.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
That's only
so
what,
22 years ago.
It was fine.
It was fine. And who would think that in 22 years, a chemical that is acidic and might eat away at a tank might eat away at a tank? I mean, that's just completely, who would even think of such a thing?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about all this is that West Virginia is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the coal companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a fascinating state for a lot of reasons. It's a Democratic state, but it never votes for the Democrats in presidential elections. At least it hasn't for the last
15 years. They have Democratic governors.
Governors, and it's a very conservative state. Many argue it's a very racist state. It's a very poor state.
Mm-hmm.
It's largely, you know, I don't want to too stereotype it, you know, with you know, start singing Rocky Mountain Breakdown or,
well, look, here's the, just all you have
poor
to
say, white Appalachian people.
All you have to say is it's a southern state, Mark, because the southern states are poor.
Yeah,
let's be honest, the southern states are poor.
They're poor, but
overall, the poorest states in America. Did you know that 9 of the 10 poorest states in America are red states?
That does not surprise
and
me.
And 9 of the 10 wealthiest states in America? Our blue states.
That does not surprise me, because when everyone has a chance to succeed, everyone gets richer.
Did you know that 10 of the 10 least educated states in America are red states?
Not surprising.
And 9 of the 10 best educated states in America, will you finish this one for me, Mark?
Are blue states.
Yeah. So they execute right-wing conservative policies, and the effects are, wouldn't you say, predictable?
But here's the thing. See, I look at a state like West Virginia, and I say they're poor, they are uneducated, but they're totally being screwed over by this corporation. And what's fascinating is it just shows you the role of money in politics. If the people of West Virginia could vote based on their interests, they would vote for regulations in West Virginia to regulate these coal companies. The problem is the coal companies pay so much money to the governor and the senators and everyone running. Plus, the people themselves only get their income from these coal companies. It's like the old company towns 100 years ago,
yep.
where you hate the company, but they're the only people, only place with jobs.
Yep.
So you work at the company, you shop at the company store, you pay the inflated company prices, and if they chop your arm off, you work at the company with your other arm.
You're right.
And so the people there are
kind of trapped. They cut your salary in half, of course.
Well, of course, because you only have one arm. Right. So this is modern day, it's not slavery, but it's as close as we come. In the modern day, and it's in West Virginia.
Well, I've always made the point that, you know, that the greatest form of capitalism was slavery, and they always tried it. That's
very
where they're always moving towards.
Very profitable.
They're always moving towards free labor. They're never moving away from slavery. They're always moving in that direction. And what's unfortunate about this whole thing is, and you know, you made some very good points there, Mark, and that is the economic system and the economic model that we use, you know, we kind of as a country, some of us, recognize that the very things that we are doing, you know, look at this. You got to have a job working for this company, and this company is destroying the economy
and destroying
the environment, and you're going to drink toxic water and it's going to kill you.
Right.
And then we've got this kind of feedback loop, and that we've, you know, if you look at what we're doing with energy, fossil fuels, if you look at what we're doing, you know, Fukushima, look what we're doing with nuclear.
Yeah.
This is just kind of a small, you know, this is a microcosm of what we're doing as a species on this planet in so many ways.
And yet when
fracking?
Fracking's another example. When President Obama tries to move to wind, to solar, to geothermal, to these energies that don't burn carbon, that don't sacrifice lives, that don't make our environment
that's
toxic.
That's socialism. You're talking about socialism,
Mark. Well, that's exactly what they call it. They say, you know, how dare the government, you know, move our industry as if the government didn't help build the railroads, didn't help build the interstate highways, didn't help build canals in the 1840s when that was the main way. Government has always helped with transportation. Well, again, canals, road interstates, and railroads, and airports too are built by governments.
Help planes know where they're going. You know?
Absolutely, it's all built by governments. But apparently, moving to an electric car, oh no, government shouldn't do that. No. That would be.
All these people that the government shouldn't be involved. They use their GPS. Do they know where that came from? The global positioning satellites. It was military. That's what the military came up with, and that's what they used so that they could do all the things that the military does. Some of them that I
actually
don't like.
The internet also was a military invention.
That's it. Yeah, it was.
DARPA, they called it.
Yep, that was about being able to communicate if there's a nuclear attack and everything goes down. And
that's
the GPS
correct.
Was about being able to know where things are. And eventually, the military said, "This works. There's plenty of them out there." Ah, what the heck? Everybody go ahead and use
it. And when Al Gore said very famously that he played a major role in the creation of the internet, he was absolutely right because the government created the internet, and Al Gore was someone who saw early on this is something that could be very useful economically in every which way to the American people, put a lot of government funding in it, and of course he was, you know, mocked and so forth for that. But now that we need a future without, toxic waste in our rivers, that's something that apparently is beyond government control.
There's a religion. There's a right-wing religion. That's what it is. You know, the conservative mantra, the conservative beliefs, unfortunately, Mark, they've turned into a religion. You know, after this happened, John Boehner was asked, John Boehner took money from Freedom Industries. How shocking is that? But John Boehner said, no, we don't need any more regulations. People said, well,
they looked at it 22 years ago. I'm sure in 22 years they would look at it again, you know, and, you know, toxic chemicals that happen to take half the population of West Virginia and the entire capital and render them. Remember, they couldn't drink the water.
Nope.
They couldn't take showers.
Nope.
They couldn't bathe in the water.
Right.
There's only so much bottled water in the town. Basically, they really had to be refugees.
Yeah,
they needed to just leave the state.
Yeah, you wash your car with it. You know, it burns the paint off, right? You know.
It's not just drinking it. In fact, the only thing they let you do with it was flush it. You couldn't even brush your teeth. Now think about all the smells.
I'm not going to make a joke about that.
But basically, they made an entire half the state's population toxic.
Yeah.
I mean, they took the whole capital city, and it's just amazing, frankly, that it's not a bigger story.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, if it happened in New York City, I think it'd be a big story. I guess because it's West Virginia, people think, well, it's a bunch of hicks. What do we care? You know, they're up in the mountains.
I would guarantee you this. There's probably not a whole lot of fish and wildlife left in that river.
And yet, West Virginia, I mean, listen to any
John
Denver
song.
Exactly. I've gone rafting in West Virginia. Let me tell you, it's some of the most fun I've had in my life.
You might
rafting,
want to rethink that.
Rafting on the Gauley River. Good. I mean, it is. It's beautiful country.
It really is.
The mountains, the rivers, like I said.
You can get the tubes and the rafts over there by Harper's Ferry?
Well, actually, you can do it on the Shenandoah. It's not as rapid as down in South.
Yeah, we're
West
not
Virginia.
All as adventurous. Look, I get the little tubes where I kind of.
You're such an old man.
I drift down and they take.
Not
you back
me.
Back.
I want the rapids that might knock you over.
If I got to wear,
I like
helmet,
the thrill.
If I got to wear a helmet, I'm probably not going to be involved.
But no, really, I mean, it's a beautiful. I mean, where in the East do you still have beautiful wild areas? Maine, I guess. Mm-hmm. But outside of the far, far Northeast, there aren't that many wild, beautiful, you know. areas. West Virginia is one of the last of them, and now that it's been destroyed, I mean, I guess we can go out west.
Yeah, let me give out the number and a couple of things. Number one, if you would like, you know, I have my email up right now, Mark, and if someone would want to, and I might add, I've got, guess what I did? I went to the Tea Party Patriots website and signed up so that they get me, so I get the emails. You got to know what they're doing, Mark. You got to know what they're doing.
This goes right to my spam folder.
Yeah, guess what their action alert is now? Fire the speaker. They want to get rid of John Boehner.
Because he's too reasonable. He didn't shut down the government and he didn't nuke the planet.
Well, he's going along.
He's just too reasonable.
He's going along with everything Obama wants, according to them.
Oh, my God.
Which is nothing. But,
well, you know what? While you have your email open, I got my Twitter open. Mark Levine Talks. Anyone who is following on Twitter can talk and I'll read your tweet on the air.
Yeah. So email me if you want to email. We're going to give out the number 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We're talking about the West Virginia spill. We're talking about all the, you know. And feel free, if you want to talk about Fukushima, if you want to talk about fracking,
any of those environmental
issues. You know, Heather Mazira was on here, and she's running for governor, and she scared me half to death. She's running for governor in Maryland. I love her. Very progressive. And I didn't realize that the frackers were trying to get in Maryland.
Oh, of course.
They will leave no quarters for human beings who actually,
can you really, light your stove via your water pipes? I mean, that's great. You don't even need a separate gas line.
Right, yeah.
Just want to light your oven.
You
just take your sink and you pour water in the oven and boom.
Just think about how much money you'll save. Who needs a furnace?
Right.
You just turn on all the faucets and light them.
There you go. And heat your house.
You got a cigar. You go over. You stick it under the faucet. So at any rate, you can email me, garlandin@gmail.com. Garlandin@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email, if you want to give me a message, I will read it. My email's right open. Garlandin. You know, my name's Garland Nixon, so it's Garland and then the first letter of my last name. @gmail.com. Send me if you want me to read your name, whatever, so you can email me right now. It'll be on the air.
And if you want to tweet at me, you do that. Go to Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk, and I'll read some of your tweets out. So we'll get some – or call in. Always happy to have you call in.
Well, we got callers. We got plenty of callers. 202-588
right now.
We're going to start with Vic. I got a funny feeling none of them work for Freedom Industries. But I could
and
be wrong.
And if so, good for them.
Yeah, that's
right.
Because
it's not a great place to work.
Well, they're not because they just filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Freedom Industries just filed for bankruptcy.
Call me
which
unsurprised.
Just means probably they're just going to change their name.
They just means they're not going to change their name and not pay anyone who suffered.
You're right. Yeah, that precisely. It'll be Freedom. It'll be the Freedom Industries. That's what the new name is.
Just real quick. Think about when a corporation declares bankruptcy. Basically what they're saying is we can pollute at will and we never have to pay for
it. That's it.
I mean, you could go and nuke a village and then just declare bankruptcy as long as you're a corporation. And the people that did the polluting and knew they were polluting and killing a bunch of people and making massive profits doing so, they get to keep every last dollar because they're individuals and not corporations. So when people say, well, you know, corporations should have free speech or corporations should be able to buy political candidates, remember, corporations aren't responsible citizens.
They're just people, according to them.
They're made up.
So we're going to start with Victor, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, Victor.
Fine evening. How are you guys doing this fine evening?
Wonderful, Victor. Thanks for calling.
Excellent. Yeah, long-time listener, and I call every once in a while to give my opinions, and happy to do so again today.
Okay.
And Mark kind of quickly went over it about the money in politics, and man, I full-heartedly agree with you that you know, they corporations and stuff like that want to take these shortcuts. And the only way they can go through these shortcuts is through, you know, paying the politicians to, you know, for them to be able to dump sewage in the water and other things of that nature. And it's very unfortunate, man, but it happens. And there's this group out right now called Wolfpack that actually is helping to fight that. And
I know Wolfpack. They're good. Yeah. They're a good group.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of them for a while and their origins and stuff like that. And definitely I think that's a major problem right now, and it's not just with the environmental, but it can be with anything, with the military, with spending, with the deficit, with Obamacare, everything, man. It's just the money in politics, and it's unfortunate that the people who have the money are the ones who are really controlling the United States.
And again, they use the corporate form. Think how much power you would have if you were a corporation. You go in, you rob a bank, right?
Right.
If you don't get caught, you get to keep all that money you got from the bank. If you do get caught, you declare bankruptcy and you rob another bank. You see, it's a great heads we win, tails you lose kind of way. You always make money. Either you steal and you get to keep it, or you pollute and you get to keep the money. And if no one catches you, you're doing fine. And if they catch you, you just declare bankruptcy and move right along. It's interesting. Congress, a few years back, passed a bill to make it harder for individuals to declare bankruptcy if you have a massive health problem, which corporations
and you owe corporations money.
You owe hospital bills and things like that, which they way overcharge you.
Credit card debt
and so forth. They said, well, you know, you got to pay back your debts. You got to pay back your debts. But if you're a corporation, you walk away scot-free.
Right, and it's not even that that you know you declare bankruptcy. If you get caught, man, just pay off the guy who saw you doing it, and even then. Get away.
Yeah, they've learned to do it preemptively. Now they just have the law. They just have it changed so that whatever they want to do is not illegal.
they do that too. Right. And again, in West Virginia, they have no regulations. So.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing about the South. You know, the redder states in Maryland. Yeah, we everything's regulated. We're you know, it's a very blue state, and they're checking everything, and you know, they're making sure there's all of these. They get angry because there are all of these laws that farmers can't dump all of this.
But I'll bet I can drink the water. I open the tap.
Yes.
And I appreciate that.
And there's fish swimming around the bay and crabs and all these kind of things. And, you know, we don't have 4-methylcyclohexane methanol.
Well, you do because it comes from West Virginia. Yeah, it flows down the Potomac and it lands in some Maryland places. Sorry,
Garland. Yeah, too close to a red state. Okay. Let's go to Julie. Julie, welcome to WPFW.
Hello.
Hi, Julie. Welcome.
Thank you. I would just like to say that I am from West Virginia.
Okay.
And I find it interesting that in your desire to basically demonize freedom, which I can understand because they did,
they are demonic.
What they did to the water was not what they should have been doing as far as watching the water system and watching what they were doing. However, the bottom line is that I don't think in your effort to do that, there's a need to refer to West Virginians as hicks or all of these things. I think that you should probably, and also the fact that West Virginia's coal industry has decreased considerably over the last few years, the state has lost extreme amount of revenue from coal severance taxes. Very few people are actually employed in the coal industry anymore because of longwall mining and so forth. Now,
and yet they still control the legislature.
No. You don't know. Actually, natural gas is now controlling the legislature more than the coal industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I agree with everything that you said about freedom, I find it interesting that in your desire to demonize a company, you have to also dehumanize the individuals that live in West Virginia.
Let me refer
to West Virginia as hicks. You've stated all these things, but you haven't actually stated a figure.
Well, let me say one
thing. Interesting.
Julie, here's what I'm saying. You misinterpreted Mark. Mark said something to the.
No,
Mark said people think they're hicks, basically saying people don't care about them.
About not being able to bathe in West Virginia. You said you refrained from a joke there.
Absolutely.
About, you know, things like that. Now, I think that, you know, if you want to make your point, you can make your point. And many people in West Virginia would agree with you. The other problem is that it's not really that they weren't regulated. The problem is that the state does not have enough money to employ the people in the EPA and the DEP to go out and check these facilities.
I get your point about not demonizing
the
people, but the state is not regulating. The laws are not regulating. The state
actually has more regulation on some industries, such as the natural gas industry, than other states do.
But they definitely don't on coal. The coal industry, everyone in West Virginia, I know people in West Virginia.
What you don't understand and what is clear is that you're ignorant to is the fact that the coal industry has basically, over the last 5 years, lost a great deal of its power. And so what you should really focus on
is not so much its power.
The coal industry. Yes, it has.
I think it's lost its employment because they're blowing up mountains rather than hiring people.
And if you're not paying severance taxes, you're not going to have any power.
But the West Virginia legislature, by all accounts, including people in West Virginia, is bought lock, stock, and barrel by the coal companies.
It is not lock, stock, and barrel by the coal companies. And again, you're showing your ignorance.
I don't think so. I can cite you a number of articles, and I also know people in West Virginia that will tell you that even though they're Democrats, they get
a
ton of money from coal companies and natural gas. You're right about natural gas, too.
But the other issue that you're missing here which I don't understand why it is so imperative for anyone from outside the state. Now you're talking about the fish kill. What was the fish kill? Do you know what the fish kill was?
Don't know it. I wouldn't imagine it
right.
was good, but
so
I don't know.
So you're talking about, oh, I'd like to know how many fish were killed in that river. There hasn't been a fish kill. The best solution to pollution is dilution. So down the river, there won't be any of this chemical in the river.
There must not have been any fish if they weren't
killed
by that.
You think you need to educate yourself. Do you know that this chemical, that they don't even know what the ramifications of the chemical are because the chemical is so old that it wasn't that they didn't have to put it into the chemical book to list what the effects of it were.
And they didn't because West Virginia doesn't regulate
these
things.
No, it's not. You don't understand. This is your ignorance. It is not about what West Virginia does. Those chemicals are regulated federally.
But the Republicans in Congress don't allow the EPA to do a lot of this. They say that states should do this. They insist that it be state regulators, and West Virginia is not regulating to protect its own citizens because they're paid.
Yes, let's let her get her bottom line in.
And then we got to go. And here's where you're showing your ignorance again.
We got to get ready to take a break. If you could wrap up, we're at 6:30, so we got to take a break here in the next few seconds.
Well,
if you could wrap up.
Just try to, when you're talking about.
Did we lose her?
We didn't cut her off.
We didn't cut her off. We lost her. Oh, and Mark, I was about to say, I've got a. I'm looking at CNN at an article that says West Virginia chemical spills shine spotlight on loose regulations.
Exactly.
Now state officials say they're considering increased oversight. Two U.S. Congress say the spill exposes regulatory gaps in chemical load. Okay.
And this is nothing new in West Virginia, this loose regulation.
Well, we got to take a break. And thank you, Julie. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you giving us lots of info on West Virginia. And thank you for listening to the show, Mark. And I genuinely appreciate your call, and we hope you continue to listen and call in and give us your very, very, very good and knowledgeable information. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. Good evening. Welcome back to WPFW 89.3 FM. My name is Garland Nixon here with Mark Levine, and we're talking about the West Virginia oils. But I'm surprised nobody's brought up Fukushima. Because when you look at these, at what's going on, when you look at fracking, when you look at these types of things, this is as bad as it is. As horrible as it is, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just a local reminder. I think we'll be looking at Fukushima for hundreds of years saying, holy moly, did we realize how bad it is? Because let's face it, it'll probably still be spilling radiation for 100 years.
But, in America, it is mostly coal. We get about 50% of our energy from coal. And, Julia's right that employment's gone down, but employment's not gone down because we're using less coal. We're using a little less coal, mostly because they're blowing up mountains rather than hiring people and causing even more environmental damage. And so, the people of West Virginia, their legislature is still controlled by coal, yes, and natural gas as well, but by the energy.
And the bigger picture is the issue of, corporations that are pretty much, destroying, and not just, excuse me, the planet will be fine. We'll be gone. That are altering, that are doing things.
That are poison, making toxic
and that
environment
we,
for humans.
As human beings, as a species, know that these things are bad for us.
Sure.
We know what, we don't have to guess it. We've got nuclear power plants on the San Andreas Fault. It doesn't take it doesn't take a nuclear physicist to figure out that that's probably
not
a good idea.
Right.
That one little shiver or shake the wrong way. The San Francisco earthquake of 19 or whatever hits, and we got Fukushima right here. And I fear at some point we're gonna. I would like
to say. Apparently, the typhoon was worse than the actual earthquake. In terms of what caused damage, because it was a typhoon that broke in and basically contaminated all the water. Mm-hmm. So again, we're actually talking more about water contamination than the actual. There was a little bit that went out in the air, but that's not near as bad as when it gets in the ground.
And they're finding they're like catching fish off the coast of California.
Yeah,
that have radiation. Elevated radiation levels. Those fish don't just hang around; they go all over the place.
The Gulf Stream goes all around the planet.
Yep. At which there's hundreds of thousands of gallons of water pumping every day that's probably hitting the Gulf Stream. Mark, we're probably not being told just how bad it is.
I look at the Potomac River. Again, this virtually all of us live within 20 miles of the Potomac River. Wherever you live in the DMV, you're pretty close to the Potomac River. And I remember when I first moved here, and it's a beautiful river, and I said to someone, hey, you know, can you swim in that maybe on a summer's day? And they laughed, and they laughed, and they said, no, you can't. And I said, well, I see people fishing in that river all the time. And he said, well, they should throw them back. And I've actually talked to fishermen, and I've said to them, what do you do with the fish? They say, oh, we throw them back. Because they know that the Potomac River is polluted. And it's polluted not because, I got to say, of Virginia or Maryland or D.C. Most of that pollution comes from upstream in places like Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Chemical plants, what do? They make money, and rather than actually clean up their toxic waste, they just dump it on the rest of us.
They just pour it into the earth is a big, you know, it's almost the old kind of right-wing view of the earth as some gigantic trash can.
Yeah,
and it can filter anything out and clean up anything. We just throw it. We've got more calls. Let me give you the number, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Yeah, imagine somebody might have something to talk about. Fukushima, what do you think? We're going 202-588-0893. We're talking about environmental damage. We're talking about West Virginia. And we're talking to Tesfa. Tesfa, welcome to WPF.
Hello, Tesfa.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, my friend.
Talking about West Virginia, allowing the storage of chemicals next where it could flow into the reservoir is unbelievable. The companies do not talk to each other, and nobody looked at it and said, this could flow into the reservoir where we get our drinking water. But these corporations do not want to stay in the United States and go overseas, because one of the reasons is they don't want regulation in the United States.
That's true. And a lot of times they go to Bangladesh and they destroy Bangladesh. They go to India and destroy. I mean, they go to Mexico, China. So a lot of times, what do? They go to the poorest places, whether in the United States or around the globe, because that's where they can do the most toxic damage and get the least people noticing.
Well, I have an email from my dear friend Herschel, and Herschel says, do you think Obama or Holder was behind the chemical spill in West Virginia?
Oh, my God. See, that's what you get for getting on the Tea Party list.
He's
joking.
He's being facetious.
Oh, all right. I thought that was a real, you had a real Tea Party on the hook.
No. You know, it's making the point that, you know, there's certain people out here that everything that happens, it was
that's
Obama.
True.
Actually, Obama was probably there, and there was like some big giant spigot, and he was personally turning it
opening it
with his own hands.
Of course.
So that would happen. And let's go to David.
Hi, David.
Welcome to WPFW.
Is that me?
Yes,
it is.
Hi, this is David.
Hi, David.
Hey, I want to make a comment that's kind of similar to one that Julie made. You know, there are a lot of regulations on the books, and, you know, it's not like it's legal to dump all these things into the river, but there's no enforcement because there's no teeth in these regulations because they don't have the resources to enforce them.
David, here's the thing.
Let's let David before we comment.
This plant that, for instance, I was listening to another NPR station. They had some knowledgeable people on about the whole thing in West Virginia. They said these storage tanks that these chemicals were in have been cited 9 times for safety violations by the EPA, and nothing was done about it. The place that they dug up those tanks and moved them to has a retaining wall that is described by the EPA as either severely deteriorated or non-existent in 1991.
Right.
22 years ago, where they moved these tanks to. So they've moved into a place that's no safer than it is now. But the EPA has cited the place where they've, for 20 years, they've been citing the place where they've moved these tanks to. But nobody has the EPA has no bite.
They don't have a bite because in the federal government, it's Congress. In the West Virginia, it's the West Virginia legislature. They don't allow the regulations to have enough bite. The Republicans cut funds to EPA year after year after year. In West Virginia, they give virtually no money for enforcement. And this is because the coal companies buy the legislature.
And let me throw this in. I'm going to support what Mark said and some of what he said for this reason. You know, I worked in the, you know, with the Maryland with the Department of Natural Resources. I work with the Department of Environment. I work with the Department of Health, the Health Department in Maryland on some of this very stuff. And what you do have, if you think of like the National Labor Relations Board, where there are regulations, what the right wing will do many times is they won't fund the enforcement arms.
That's right.
Exactly what David's saying. So you will have, I saw it happen in Virginia under various, in Maryland, you know, they were trying to do things to save the bay, and where the laws were there in Virginia, where they had a right-wing governor, what he would do was simply not fund any enforcement authorities that could go out there. What difference does it make if there's a law if there's nobody there to check?
Right, so, and if the authorities come and say that your plant is leaching chemicals into the river and they cite you and you don't fix it and there's no money for follow-up and there's
right.
no money to take you to court, no money to put people in prison
yep.
or levy fines, then it's a slap on the
so
wrist.
So David was absolutely right in that one of the issues and one of the methods that are that is used is where there are regulations, don't fund any enforcement arm, or you. In some instances, there is no one to enforce it.
Here's my point to David and Julie, and they're absolutely right that these things aren't enforced. But when they say there's not enough money for enforcement, it's not like not enough money for enforcement. You know, they didn't. You know, the money didn't come from the trees or the money for enforcement is allocated by the legislature,
right.
And if the legislature is bought lock, stock, and barrel by these energy companies. They can't allocate the money. Let me give you one example.
So it's based,
the Washington Post.
Based on policy, there's not enough money for enforcement.
That's exactly right. It's purposely so. Yeah. Washington Post showed in a great article, front page article a few weeks back, that the Koch brothers, who are in the oil industry, those two brothers gave more money to political campaigns than every working person in every single union in all of the United States. Every single union in all the United States gave out $400 million. Mm. The Koch brothers, through a bunch of secret entities and so forth, gave more. Two brothers who work in the oil industry, and that's just the oil industry. That doesn't include coal. That doesn't include fracking.
Yep.
We are outspent. So enforcement is not an accident for lack of money.
Yep.
Lack of enforcement is purposeful. That's
Dennis,
my point.
We're going to Dennis next. Dennis, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, this is Dennis. Good to hear you. Good to hear that you all are on this subject today.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, what I wanted to, I heard you talking about the Potomac River, but we have to keep in mind that the Anacostia River is actually Washington, D.C.'s river.
Mm-hmm.
It runs right through the city,
sure.
north, south, and actually runs into the Potomac.
Right.
And there are five legacy hotspots, mm-hmm. environmental hazard hotspots along the Anacostia River.
That's true.
And we have to keep in mind that this is a real environmental justice issue. Because they are located in the communities where, for the most part, the poorest people live and work, and that's where these things exist.
Uh-oh, I think we lost him. I think we lost.
It's been in place since 1970, but you know we don't have legislators with backbones, and money is ruining the whole process.
Thank you very much. We got a few minutes left. We got three callers. We're going to try to get to all three of them. Mary. Welcome to WPFW,
Hello,
Mary.
How are you?
Hi, Mary.
Wonderful.
Hi, how are you doing? You guys, what I've been listening to, you made me, the vision that I have in my head right now is all those big trash, what I call floating landfills in the ocean right now, the size of Texas.
That's true, mm-hmm. too.
That is so disgusting. And with the legislators that we have, the Republican Party, I'm afraid that the only thing that's going to change anything is one of the Koch brothers dropped dead suddenly.
I'm sure they'll give their money to some other awful person.
And so I want to hear about the fracking in Maryland. If you have a few seconds, I'll go off. I'll hang up who was the person that brought that up? Because if she's running for governor, I might want to vote for her. So I'll hang up and listen.
Her name is Heather Mazier. She's running for governor, and I love Heather. She's very, very progressive.
Let's talk about her.
And she basically said, you know, on her watch, there ain't going to be no fracking in Maryland. They're coming for you, Maryland. And I live in Maryland. The frackers are coming. They're applying for permits, you know, and they're going to say everything's fine.
So how do we stop it? How do we stop it?
Legislature and governor.
That's it.
Okay.
Make sure
that
you get.
We got to pick the right governor. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be the lieutenant governor because I'm not happy right now. So let's blow her up so we can find out.
Well, look up Heather Mazier. It's Mizeur. She's
okay.
She was on here. I might have
very
her on
progressive
again.
Candidate.
She's awesome. Jim, welcome to WPFW.
Hey.
Hi, Jim.
How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Anyway, there's a couple issues. You know, like side issues that I keep listening to y'all. Number one.
Uh-oh. Jim.
Are you on a cell phone, Jim?
Yes.
You're kind of fading in and out. Can you get, if you're on a cordless, get near where your phone is? If you're on a cell, get near your window. But we want to hear what you have to say. But if we can't hear from...
Is that better?
No.
Okay, well, let me just deal with this. I think the West Virginia woman was talking about, you know, kind of like state rights, something the district doesn't have.
State rights? Yeah.
I hate to let you go there, Jim, but...
I'm wrong about this. I think that she should, you know, state rights for West Virginia came after the Civil War.
Well, that's true. Yeah. We've got to cut you off just because your sound quality is bad. It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, West Virginia has the right as a sovereign state, unlike the District of Columbia, to regulate these things. I was just thinking about that when the guy was talking about Anacostia. I'm not sure what he's talking about, plant, you know, stuff that flows in the Anacostia River, because mm-hmm. the Anacostia River begins in Maryland, mm-hmm. or whether they're in D.C., but obviously D.C. has no power because it's a stepchild of Congress to do a lot of these things.
And the candidate with Heather Mizier, M-I-Z-E-U-R. RG, welcome to WPFW.
Hey,
RG. We know him from way back, don't we, Mark?
Yeah, we do. RG knew us in Raucous Caucus days. How are you, RG?
Hey, indeed. How about that? I was thinking the same thing, Mark.
Yep.
But look, you know, we think about environmental pollution. I guess we probably don't have a comprehensive history on how long that stuff's been around, but heck, I can remember being in junior high school in Virginia back in the old, late 60s, early 70s. Allied Chemical out of Hopewell, Virginia, was leaking Peapone into the James River and downstream on down to the Tidewater area. And, you know, you just had a number of incidents of massive pollution by America's industries.
Sure.
And I'm just wondering, you know, you had a spike in cancer deaths. I don't know if there's actually a way to track and tie in the huge not only environmental cost but the health cost to all of this over the years. You know, this isn't a newer phenomenon, is basically my point.
No, it really isn't. I mean, there was a time in the 70s, I think, when people could walk across the Lake Erie because the pollution was so bad. It was just a floating trash. Look, it's very simple. If corporations can get away with making a profit, it's not like they have a conscience. They're going to do whatever they can do. It doesn't matter how many humans they kill. Doesn't matter how much air or water they pollute. Unless they're forced to pay financially for what they do, they're going to keep doing it, period.
If I can, just to talk about no conscience and who care less, listen to this. Nearly 3 years after an earthquake and tsunami ravaged Japan's northeast coast, the cleanup around Fukushima nuclear plant is running behind schedule, and few people are lining to take on jobs.
Yeah, not surprised.
In response to the worker shortage, Japanese subcontractors are now recruiting the homeless who are tasked with clearing out debris and soil in the disaster area not far from three reactors melted down. In some instances, their paychecks reportedly fall below the minimum wage. Their paychecks being
below the minimum wage.
But let me tell you something.
Wow.
That's the least of their problems.
Yeah, it's true.
How? I mean, you're taking homeless people and saying, oh, yeah, you see that area over there? Yeah, are you going to walk me over to it? Well, no.
No, but just clean it up.
Yeah,
will you,
I can see it from binoculars. Here's a mop.
Don't think it's glowing over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I didn't know very too many homeless people existed in Japan.
Well, after Fukushima and the things that have happened lately, there's a whole lot of homeless people. But the bottom line is that just goes to show, when it comes down to it, how the big corporations and even how the government look. When it comes down to it, what are they reach down and take homeless people,
you know,
and send them in to clean up, and they think that's okay. But you know, Mark, sooner or later, it ain't going to be just the homeless people.
People attack lawyers all the time, and there are definitely greedy lawyers out there.
And
Republicans, you know, hate trial lawyers. But I'll tell you one thing, good thing trial lawyers do. What they do is they force these companies to, unless they declare bankruptcy, which sometimes they do, to pay for these costs through class actions, through, at least in the United States, if you have these spills and we discover Aaron Brockovich, right? I mean, we've all seen the movie. It is largely private people policing this, private lawyers usually, because we just talked about the fact that enforcement isn't funded by the state and federal legislatures.
Well, certainly, and that's one of the reasons they don't like the trial lawyers. Because,
that's right.
Because
they bring justice.
The
they internalize these polluted costs that are externalized.
The average person who is mistreated, life is in danger, family member killed, whatever, by these major corporations, can go to a lawyer and can take this
and
huge corporation.
Right.
And the argument that's used is one of the most absurd arguments, and I don't know why. I never understood why no one ever questions them, because they say, we've got to stop these frivolous lawsuits. Well, here's the thing about it.
Frivolous lawsuits
lose. If
it's
a frivolous lawsuit, A, it gets thrown out.
Or they lose.
The legal definition
Rule
of
11.
Frivolous,
yeah,
the attorney will be sanctioned under
That's
Legal
true.
11.
True.
Not can be under Rule 11. Not only that, the people who filed it have to pay, they're going to have to pay the legal fees of the people who they.
In a frivolous lawsuit,
right.
That's true.
So you can't, you don't have to worry about frivolous lawsuits, because if it is by definition a frivolous lawsuit, the judge will find it to be a frivolous lawsuit and throw it out.
Just remember these dirty words. When you hear lawyers are bad, or regulation is bad, or we don't want the government tying up everything with red tape, what they're really saying is, we have the right to poison your water and not, you know, deal with it, not pay you to get bottled water or to get out of the state. We have the right to poison you. That's what they're saying,
and they don't want
regulation.
And see, the power is somewhere. The power is going to be in the government. The power is going to be with the corporations. And here's the thing about it, you know, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not an anti-government person. Not at all.
Government is a tool. It can be good or bad, depending on who's running it.
The people on the left who are anti-government, I'm not with them. I'm not down with the anti-government movement. But let me say this. Here's the thing about it. If the government is doing something, if the government is regulating something, if the government is acting, if government employees are doing something, we as citizens at least have a chance through elected officials and other things. At least we have an opportunity to change or affect that, don't we, Mark?
Yeah.
You know, we've got some way to deal with the purse strings. We have, you know, we may not have much, but we have something that we can do to try to influence the government to change its policies or to do something different. But if a corporation has the authority and the power, we can't. So when the power goes from the government to the corporations, any hope we had of being able to have an effect on changing those policies goes out the window. So you're really taking all power from the people when you take it from the government and you give it to the corporation.
And you look at an organization like the Environmental Protection Agency, which is designed to protect our environment. And, Julia points out that the chemical, that had never been tested. See, chemical companies don't have to test chemicals unless the EPA can prove with its lawyers and its funding that it's hazardous and force a study. So
is that Julia?
This is just I happen to have someone who knows EPA law.
Oh, okay.
But the point is that, Congress could require all these things to be regulated, but they don't. They'd have to revise.
We got one more caller, so we got a couple minutes, and we've got Jim there. Jim, we'll give you a minute or so. We only have a little bit of time, but we just definitely want to get you on.
Yeah. Look, this is Jim calling.
Oh, thanks, Jim.
On a better line.
West Virginia woman was speaking from her position, and D.C. speaks from their position. You know, I think, you know, statehood is good and all that stuff. It's local, local, local. You got to wake up the minds of the people to take advantage of their authority as people. So the point I'm trying to get to, very simple, is that all of this stuff is because people are not aware.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can rant and rave and cry out all we want, but the people need to realize they have a responsibility to deal with their own lives and understand the existence they have within their own jurisdiction and infrastructure or judicial, you know, whatever. But the point is that we have to make people aware that they are part of their own lives and someone else is not going to take them.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. That's what we're trying to do. And you're right, it's not West Virginia versus D.C. We hope we can all
get along. We're supposed to be all on the same side.
And, I hope we didn't offend anyone. I just want to be very clear. I was not calling West Virginia Hicks.
Right.
I was saying that people in the media are not focused on this enough, I think, because they're prejudiced.
And they think,
West
yeah, right.
And
yeah.
they think West Virginia is.
Okay, you're listening to PFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. Garland Nixon here with
Mark Levine.
And the show is News Views, Fridays, 6 to 7 p.m. Also, WPFW.org. Just go to WPFW.org if you're out of town, traveling, or whatever, and you can listen streaming live online if you're not close enough. And we get a pretty good signal, so we go a long ways. Mark, what if they want to get in touch with
just,
you?
Just follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. My website's marklevinetalk.com, where I have every News View show and every appearance I do on TV or radio is there as well, so check it out.
All right, and if you want to get in touch with me, of course, I gave up my address. My email address, Garland, not my address. You know, it'll probably be some fracking company showing up to blow the house up. But garlandin@gmail.com. That's garlandin@gmail.com. At Garland Nixon on Twitter, at Garland Nixon. And last but not least, I'm on Facebook. Garland Nixon
As
on Facebook. Mark, you're on Facebook. You just
Mark Levine Talk.
Mark Levine Talk on Facebook for you. Garland Nixon on Facebook for me. Next Friday, 6 p.m.